Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Warm up the grill, grab a beverage, and paint your face.
How do you like yours, Clark?
Oh, medium rare, a little pink inside.
Now you're fine. Light or dark?
This is Danny and Dusty on Conference Championship Week.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Vicki, can I help you with that Kool-Aid? Please.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Wow.
Hey, welcome in. Happy Thursday. Danny and Dusty with you. How's everybody doing today? Find a glorious Thursday.
Good Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good Thursday.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with camera issues, trying to make sure everybody on the YouTubes can see your lovely faces.
There you go.
Frozen.
Love to see it. I had a very stupid look on my face frozen, but I have a very stupid look on my face more often than not. So.
Well, I'm glad you beat me to that.
Yeah, no. It is what it is. I outkicked my coverage. My wife is hot. I did well.
So, okay.
I'll take it.
Samesies.
All right. I'll tell you what, I'm even better right now because I've got midday basketball that matters.
Yeah.
We've got midday basketball.
We do.
No.
It's January.
It's actual midday basketball. It's not like a preseason game.
It's so important they put it in Paris.
It's January.
Are you kidding me? Look.
That's like when the NFL sends games over to Europe and it's like, who are they putting over there? That's not a game that's important.
If Victor Wembanyama
in Tampa?
Look, I'm telling you all right now. If Victor Wembanyama had the ping pong ball had gone a certain way, I wouldn't be on the show right now. I would be in France doing the show from there, somehow, some way.
I think you overestimate the Odyssey budget.
Yeah. Oh, no. Forget the Odyssey budget. I'd be going. I had this talk with somebody in the Blazers, like, hey, you know, because this was going to, they knew this was going to be a thing. Like, wherever Wemby ended up, there was going to be some games in France. And I was like, hey, if they have Rupert and Wemby.
Yeah, the French connection.
I'm like, because even though Roops doesn't get a ton of tech over here, like he is somebody that is regarded because of his dad was a very prominent basketball player who died, unfortunately. So his family has some staying power over there. So it would have been, France would have been tuning into a lot of Blazers basketball.
Yeah, and overseas, like if anybody plays, it doesn't matter how much they play or really how good they are. I've told this story before, but I don't think I'm very popular in Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, yes, the Patty Mills.
Yeah, because I went on a radio show and they were like, oh, Patty. And I was like, oh, he's fun. He's awesome. I mean, he's going to be a good role player in the NBA. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he's not going to be a star in the NBA.
Which he's just done. He has carved himself a very nice career.
A fantastic
100%.
Career.
It went about as good as Patty Mills could have drawn it up.
Yeah.
But they were like, they thought Patty Mills was going to be like an NBA superstar. And I was like, guys, that's not.
It has carved the path for a lot more Australian players.
That's
like
right.
At his first, it was Bogut, and then you had Patty, but now you've got Dyson Daniels, his little brother Dash.
I'm forgetting about Luke Simmons. Longley.
Well, I mean,
I think Luke Longley paved the way.
Yeah, he wasn't paving a whole lot of ways, but he has been huge and instrumental for Australian basketball.
The NBA champion Luke Longley?
Yes. But guys like Joe Ingles and Matisse Thybulle, like it.
Yeah.
When you actually look at the population of Australia, the number of NBA players they've had is actually pretty impressive.
I keep forgetting that Matisse is an Aussie and not a Frenchman.
Yeah. Well, he was also left off the team this last year. That didn't go over well.
In Australia, the Australian national team.
It's a bit of a surprise.
Well, they're pretty good.
Yeah, I was still surprised they left him off. But if you look at like the young guys they have coming up, it's...
We just went full circle here. I think here in Portland, we overvalue guys like they do in Australia.
Well, Matisse hasn't been left off. He just hasn't been playing because he's been injured. Matisse Thybulle update. At the Rip City Remix game yesterday, with cornrows in.
That's the update everybody was waiting for.
Well, here's the thing.
People waiting with bated breath.
Look, here's the thing, though. When you put those in early, means usually something's coming.
Okay.
Return to action for
the
Team
return
Matisse.
To action. Okay.
This is actually clocked by Law Murray, who covers the Clippers, and a week before Kawhi made his return, had his braids put back in.
Okay.
Because they were just chilling.
Like, we're ramping up.
Yeah, because when you put them in originally, they're super tight and they're uncomfortable. Yeah. And,
but what about a guy who doesn't usually have cornrows who then puts them in?
It's a midlife crisis or a return to play.
Yeah, okay. Okay, because with Kawhi, it makes sense because all we know is Kawhi with braids in. Matisse.
It's a look.
It may be he's bored.
It could be.
It could be.
But. It's a look.
All right.
It's a look.
Okay.
It's if this is Matisse's like bad boy turn, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Oh man. All right. 503-864-6326. That's the Vancouver Ford text line. Patty Mills, favorite Blazer of all time. They really tried to bench him so they could play Armand Johnson. Wait, you mean D League All Star Armand Johnson of the Idaho Stampede. That Armand Johnson. Kevin Pritchard's final draft pick as a executive for the Blazers.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, was that not the same draft where they selected two players from UNR in the same draft?
Yeah, Luke Babbitt.
Notable basketball Babbitized. Powerhouse in Nevada Reno.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Wolfpack.
The big Chalupa himself, Luke Babbitt.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy was scoring 100 points. You knew it.
Yeah. I don't know if I ever mentioned this on air. I know I've told you. It was probably a month or two ago. I was playing some 2K with some buddies and some mutual friends. And one of them ended up being Armand Johnson's older brother. And having some conversations with him was fun. Just about that whole time period. And it was just like, God, I prefer not to relive that period of basketball. That would be swell.
What are you talking about? They went from the Pritch slap to the Cho chop.
There you go.
Yeah.
Pritch Cho, great dude.
Yeah.
Great dude. Also, great recommendations for restaurants and wonderful chef.
Well, good. Go. Yeah. Yeah. And only Blazers executive to have braces at the time that he was an executive.
Yeah. You know what? How many executives have you ever seen with braces? Now the braces are gone.
Invisalign.
A lot of them have the Invisalign.
Or they're just getting veneers and they're getting paid enough now to just get those things. Just
Yeah, there's been some bad ones in the league.
Yeah.
Some bad ones. It happens.
Okay. Well, Patty Mills, Armand Johnson, they have hijacked this segment.
There you go. As they should.
They will from time to time. Favorite Blazer of all time, Jerome Kersey, still.
Still?
Still Jerome Kersey.
That's
always and forever be Mercy Mercy Jerome Kersey. A proud Rock Creek resident for several years.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
He lived in Rock Creek for a lot of the years that he was playing here.
A lot of that team didn't do the Lake Oswego thing.
No, well, because they used to fly out of the Hillsborough Airport. Mm-hmm. So, like, Cliff Robinson lived out that way. Well, no, he lived, like, I think he had his house, like, out in the sticks by where I used to.
Oh, I know.
Like, when he was playing in Phoenix in the end of his career.
Okay,
that's
where
he was living at.
He used to live right off of 217.
Yeah.
So he would come into Old Chicago for karaoke night, and I would have to cart him at the door.
And
he'd be like, "Don't you know who I am?"
Did he get his rookie card out for you?
He'd be like,
"No, that's Quintel Woods. Quintel Woods getting pulled over by the authorities."
I'd say, "Cliff, I know exactly who you are. I just need to make sure you have your driver's license on you."
But why?
Yeah.
You knew who he was.
It's called the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, and they have laws and rules and regulations.
The 6'10" guy,
I dare the OLCC to just come up to young Jeff Rust working at the old Chicago in Tannisbourne and be like, you didn't card that guy? He's like, you don't know who that guy is? Yeah. Maybe I should kick you out of here. You're 86th OLCC. Take your butt out of here.
The one place you could run into Arvydas Sabonis, Benihana.
Sweet. Benihana. Right over by Malibu Grand Prix, which is now CarMax.
Three different times I ran into him out there as a kid. It was like, and we didn't go there that often. It was like the three times I went there as a kid, he was there like every time. I'm like, man, this guy really loves the hibachi.
Yeah.
Well, who doesn't?
I mean, yeah. But I think
Benihana is a fine.
I think he was another guy that lived like right around there. But I think he was a Portland guy.
Well, okay,
like West Hills.
Now this is didn't his wife get a DUI in Lake Oswego, dropping the kids off at school or something?
Yeah, I mean,
wasn't that Lake Oswego? Yeah. That's the only thing that makes me think that it was Lake Oswego.
No,
I could be wrong there,
but also
I could be wrong.
I could also see them being like, they're going to this school.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Private school. Yeah. Well, you had Big Duck. He was a Beaverton guy, too.
Hell yeah.
He lived right across the street from the old William Walker Elementary School.
And he would spend a ton of time down on the river fishing.
Dude, all those guys would just go, they'd go fishing. They'd hang out in the area. I miss those guys.
I ran into Duck down at the Oregon City, at the 10th Street.
RIP.
Probably 15 times.
Yeah.
When I was younger.
I almost hit Harry Porter with an errant tee shot at the old Progress Downs.
No, red tail.
Fortunately, we both hit equally crappy drives off the tee because we were both in the trees.
There you go.
All right.
I do miss how...
What do you say to Terry Porter when you almost hit him with a drive?
I'm like, hey, I'm glad your shot was almost as bad as mine.
There you go.
Well, good.
I do kind of miss I miss the old times when you used to just run into those guys everywhere.
Yeah, it's different now.
Like, they were everywhere all the time.
I've seen Martell Webster at both QFC and the old, now-defunct Biscuits.
I had a buddy who grew up in Rock Creek, and he said that he would just, hours on end, just play basketball out in front of his house, hoping Jerome would drive by and just stop and shoot hoops with him.
There you go.
Never happened. But, like, he had the dream.
Weird as a kid of just, like, having that.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if he was, like, a grown adult thinking that.
He'd probably do the same thing.
Jerome, come on. Come on, bud.
Hey.
Want to shoot some hoops?
Come on over, man.
All I need is Jerome to see my jumper.
Yeah.
I might get a call up.
Might get a good chance to go to the PF.
P2 Gym. Big Deck also used to hang out at Annie's in Astoria. That is the strip club in Astoria.
Oh.
that's not shocking. My man go up there and go crabbing, and then he'd go fishing.
How many of those establishments are there on the northern Oregon coast? Because I can't really think of any.
It's the only one I know of.
It's the only one I know of, it's the only one I know of.
I guess
of.
What? There's probably got to be one like in Tillamook or something, right?
God, I hope not.
I don't think you're correct.
No? You don't think so?
I think they'd rather make the trip over to Sunset Strip.
I think it's like Astoria, and then you have to go all the way down to Coos Bay until you get your next one.
Is there not a Newport?
Bachelor's Inn, which burnt down.
You know what?
So, all right.
I'm going to Google this. It's for work.
Yeah. All right. This is very, very sportsy. So, we will have to holster. I guess we'll have to revisit this at some point during the show. So we have to make sure that we get to this today, because I saw something on the internet today, and you guys all had to do your show research. I sent this to our group chat. The responses that I was seeing to this question, it floored me. So I want everybody to do this. You got to think. Put these four in a cage, who's coming out alive? Okay, a lion, a gorilla, a grizzly bear, or what appears to be a python?
Very large python.
Anaconda, maybe. Mm-hmm. Very large snake.
Anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, hon.
Which one is coming out alive? Okay. The responses that I saw were, they're mind-blowing. But here we are talking Coastal, Gentlemen's Establishments, Armand Johnson, and Patty Mills. Two of those three unrelated to the others. Okay?
Yep, yep.
All right. Well, let's get to sport, shall we? You mentioned Victor Wembanyama in Paris.
Yes.
And that got me thinking about where we are at with our freaks in sports right now.
Mm.
I think it's a slam dunk in like the three major sports on who the biggest freak is in each one of them.
Ooh.
Right now.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. It might be as easy as we've ever had.
Mm.
To have this conversation. We'll get to that next. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Could we have maybe the easiest line of, I think the NBA is probably the most difficult right now, of like when you go down and you say the best player in each league or the biggest freak in each league, could it be the easiest right now with Otani obviously in Major League Baseball?
Yeah.
I would say that just what Patrick Mahomes does in the NFL dominance wise, he's not even having a great year, but then you watch the game and you're like, he's doing everything to help.
That's surprising.
Like win games.
Well, not only that, he's out there dad bodding it too.
I thought you would have gone Lamar, to be honest.
Lamar Jackson? No. I
wouldn't. Because there's no Aaron Donald anymore. Because for me, he was the freak.
But with Mahomes, it's like you're watching a guy and you're like, Lamar Jackson can't do what even Patrick Mahomes is doing. Mm-hmm. Like, we talked about this. Mahomes and the flopping gets me.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot ignore his greatness because he makes – it may not be that he's putting up like 300-yard games left and right anymore, but every game you watch with Patrick Mahomes, there are three, four, five plays where you go, oh, my God, how did he do that?
Like, yeah, he'll have a couple of those
plays. It's a magician. And it's not like the no-look passes anymore. It's like an off-platform, you know, weird arm angle, get it just threading a needle, and you go, dude, how does he do that? How does he keep doing that? You watch him do the Fred Flintstone scoot down the field where his feet are going, and he shouldn't be outrunning him, but he is. Like, I'm in awe of Patrick Mahomes. And then in the NBA, Giannis, his nickname is the Freak. Mm-hmm. Victor Wembanyama is a freak. We've been watching him, and you were sitting there, you see a lot of basketball, and there's about a 2-minute stretch where you were just going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Yeah. Because it was different plays.
Three straight plays in a row. Brings the ball up, number one, 7'5" guy doing this is still weird as hell to me. It's not like he gets the ball at half court and then he'll initiate. No, he'll grab the rebound and push.
Hmm.
So he grabs the rebound and pushes, and there's nobody in the world that can contest his jump shot. Not a soul. It doesn't exist. So if he decides he wants to pull, which he did, from 30 feet and cash, what the hell do you do? You throw your hands up and go, well, we kept him from getting a dunk. Well, the next possession, he catches the ball underneath the rim, and there's nobody there that can do anything with him, so he jumps up and dunks. Then he grabs the rebound on the next play, pushes the ball, and throws a lob to Devin Vassell.
It's nuts.
It's like, what am I watching?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's both ends of the floor, complete player, absolute freak of nature.
I know that the hyperbolic stuff. He has the opportunity to be the greatest player we've ever seen. It's the same way with Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those guys can be literally the best players we've ever seen play the sport.
Yeah, yep. And like, look, with Patrick Mahomes, you're looking at he could become the first quarterback to three-peat.
Sure.
You know,
I mean, he could put himself in that combination, team. But it's also.
But this year would be the most amazing one because they're not complete.
No, not at all.
They're not nearly as good as they have been. Their defense is absolutely mind blowing. But it's the same thing that Brady had, though, right? Is like some of Brady's best seasons were the years that he didn't have the best numbers. It was, all right, we're going to lean on a really good defense. My job is to control it. And any time that there is a window, I have to make the opposition pay. And he did every single time. That's what Mahomes is doing this year. Like, they're not blowing teams out. They're flirting with disaster. There have been a couple of those games. And, you know, everybody has to admit this, Chiefs honk included, that there are games where it's like, they should not have won that. And that wasn't Mahomes making an incredible play, but that was like one or two games, a couple of games. Every other game, it's like, oh my God, Mahomes did it. He did it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, I'm in awe of him.
We talked about the blood oath that they signed with the devil.
Well, that's true.
Like,
yeah.
But, I mean, the trade-off there was that Mahomes got to do the things we've seen him do this year, which have been maybe even more Mahomesian than at any point in his career.
We haven't discussed this. Mm. Did you see the video that was circulating of the owner suite at the, I don't even know what they call their stadium, at Arrowhead?
No.
The Hunt family, which was voted by their own players as the, you know, the cheapest owners. They have locker rooms where guys are still literally on wooden stools. They have a 3-story owner suite with 6 bedrooms in it.
Of course they do. They know where to put the money.
Of course they do.
And it, like, there was somebody like filming it inside. And I mean, they had a Christmas tree in there. They had like leather couches, mahogany, like the staircase was like a spiral staircase that went up. You're like, oh my goodness, this looks like
leather bound books.
It looked like a mansion. And it was in the state. And then they like pan over. It's like, oh, there's a football game going on down there.
Well, obviously there's the studio at Moda.
Yeah,
but what people don't know about is
that the rafters there.
There's a room next to the locker room that is the owner's like suite kind of deal.
Yeah.
And it is protected by a key card entry and a guy who looks like he works for the Secret Service whenever the Jody Allen or Bert is in town. And I've seen that door come open a few times and I've like got a 2 second look inside there multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's out of like the richest movie you've ever seen.
Sweet.
And it's like, oh, that door comes closed quick, but I'm always like trying to peek in there because I'm nosy as hell. And it's pretty opulent.
Sweet.
Pretty opulent. The
not too shabby.
This is maybe a little adjacent, but I think it's a relative, at least mildly relative. Have you seen the stuff the Seahawks have put out about their equipment managers?
No.
Like the stuff that they do. So again, this is football adjacent, but just like random stuff in stadiums. Mm-hmm. All the cleats have RFID tracking in them.
Yeah.
And there's a scanner at the door. So how many times anybody goes in and out with the cleats, how often they're wearing them, all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But they have like this mechanical racks of shoes, of cleats.
Okay.
That is a mile long. And they have like digital tracking software for wear down and fit and they can print orthotics.
Okay.
On site. And it was just like this very like cool thing. You talk about like owners and where they spend money. It's like, yeah, that seems like a spot that you would like to take care of players would be a good thing. And then I think if I remember right, the Seahawks were pretty high on that chart as far as like the
taking care of stuff.
Yeah. Whereas the Chiefs were very, very, very low.
Yeah. No, it's amazing what they can do now with the player tracking stuff.
Oh, it's nuts, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like as far as like, particularly in football with the equipment stuff,
mm-hmm.
like it's very specific. And it was like I'm watching the Chargers did a helmet fitting and like gave them like 18 different helmets to choose from. And then like they've tried those on with different sizes. And it's very different from when we were kids and we had the
concussion bucket and then like some dad who's half in the bag just whapping you on the head going, hey, you're good.
You're tight enough.
And you're like, yeah, that guy just hit me with his wedding ring. Oh, that's not a wedding ring. That's his high school class ring he's still wearing. Why did he do that?
Why is the reverb still going in my head?
Yeah, you'll be good.
Why did we all have the same experience?
You're good. Because that's just the way it was with your old concussion buckets.
Oh, it was like, here, hold on, let me take this off, rip it off, basically dry,
uh-huh.
and then put on the bigger ear pads. Mm-hmm. Still not enough?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the blood flow is cut off to your face? Perfect.
You're wearing into it. What? I don't think that's how it's supposed to work. Safety first.
God.
Yeah. Now they scan your head.
Yeah.
Like the Visus helmets or the Axiom helmets.
They find the right one for the shape of your dome.
They'll scan your head and then they'll create, like the Visus one, they'll create like a molding that you just bloop right on there. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's like everybody used to talk about the 2 weeks that we used to take, you know, before we got into pads as like a way to get, you know, used to contact. I was like, no, that was all just us getting used to having our helmets on.
That's why I say, you know, football, dangerous sport still, very dangerous sport, mm-hmm. but
we've come a long way.
It from tackling in the way that they teach tackling and instruction and then just the helmet technology on top of that. Like it's going to take 20 years for the data to start catching back up because of the fact that they were using concussion buckets, and although our, you know, Pee Wee and Pop Warner football experiences of helmet fitting, that's how they were fitting helmets in the NFL too. It's like, you're fine. You can use one for your whole career.
Yeah, the only difference that changed for us when we got into high school was we got to pick our own.
Yeah, well, you did.
Yeah, we get to pick our own and pick our own face mask. That was the thing we got.
Yeah, no, we would buy our own face masks because we didn't want. I mean, we were going the full cage. We're going to run the power eye.
That's very Glencoe-y.
Well, that's a price to win. All right. Well, I don't know how we got there, but
because
here we
are. Derailed it. I'm going to derail it.
Equipment guys.
Yeah.
Very important.
No, they are. Every time one of those videos pops up that like shows how the high tech innovations that have progressed, I am glued to that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like,
it's crazy.
Oh, this is awesome. Let me see more of this. Like, yeah, this is great.
You know what I can't get behind, though?
Mm.
Soccer players apparently cut a hole out of the back of their shoe.
Yes, it's to relieve the pressure on their Achilles, and there's actually, like, real science behind that.
Because
of how much distance they travel.
That would
like, rub it raw?
Yeah, having a lot of blisters.
I don't know, man. Huh. But they also, wear them like extremely tight.
Yeah, like two sizes too small.
Which is another reason they do that, because if they don't cut that out, then it like basically
it'd be very causes grumpy. Achilles.
Oh yeah, but I mean, have you ever seen David Beckham's feet?
Yeah, ooh, yeah. I watched that Beckham doc.
Yeah, and it literally his toes curled in because of how much pressure the shoes put on his feet.
It's like Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, he clips his toenails. Yeah.
So his feet are literally deformed.
Yes.
Like all those guys that shape shots like that, they're all their feet look like that. It's really weird. I'm like,
so gross.
But it's like, right. It's done over years.
Mm. Yeah, I'm out. All right. Hey there. Let's get back on this sports train here. Did a general manager in the National Football League tip his hand on who he's going to draft next? First is Rust with SportsCenter. We got a lot of conference championship conversations that we need to get into over the next couple of days. Big swinger in that AFC with the Chiefs and Bills meeting up. That's going to be an awesome game. I can't wait.
Chiefs Bills version 5.0.
Inject it into my veins. I want more of it.
You know, Bills Ravens lived up to the hype.
Mm.
I feel like this game is going to, one team's going to beat the crap out of the other.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You feel that?
It's been too close recently.
I have a feeling this game may be boring to a lot of people just because it'll be just
lower scoring.
Two heavyweights that are just like punching each other back and forth. And you're like, I want the points. I want the points.
I feel like one team's going to falter.
Either that or we're going to get an absolute shootout, which I hope we get.
I would love to see that, but it's hard to see that in the cold, even though both teams do play well in the cold. But it's just, there's something in my veins.
Mm.
It was the same kind of feeling I had about Ohio State, Oregon, where I was like, this game is either going to go down to the last second or it's going to be over in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know which way it was going to go as far as which team.
I don't think anybody saw that coming, what we saw in that Rose Bowl.
No, not that sideways. Mm. But I did have a feeling like I thought it would be over quick. But it's the same thing I kind of feel with this game. I don't know why.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it.
Mostly just because of variance.
There's a lot of teams that are just moving on, though.
Mm.
And yesterday, the Titans rolled out, they have a new GM. Did you know that?
Oh, did they make a hiring?
Mm. Well, it's the they have Mike Borgonzi.
Mm.
Hmm.
Bolognese.
Well, it kind of sounds like Borgazzi when you say it, but it looks nothing like it.
Fugazi?
Like, no, definitely not that. But their president, team president of football operations, said, "We won't pass on generational talent with the first pick in the NFL draft. We won't do that." Well, thanks, guys. And that sent the betting markets just into a tizzy, because I think a lot of folks immediately went to, oh, that means that they're going to draft Travis Hunter. Does that mean they're going to draft Travis Hunter, though?
It's an interesting spot.
Because, like, Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network said, generational talent equals Travis Hunter, not one of the QBs, so file this one away for later as the Titans get closer to making the pick 92 days from today. That was yesterday. In the idea that Travis Hunter is that generational talent that they're talking about, I think he was like a once in a generation anomaly in that he played both ways in college football. But is he truly a generational talent when it comes to the NFL? Because he says he wants to play both ways. I don't see him being able to do that at the highest level, which is the National Football League. Could we see him in spots playing receiver too? Sure, but not to the extent or the magnitude that will make it worth it. And when you think of generational talent, you look at and think of it as a guy who is better than anybody else and is clear cut at his craft and his position, right? First of all, is Travis Hunter the best receiver in this draft?
No.
No, I don't think that one.
I think Tedrone McMillan is pretty clearly.
Yep, Tedrone McMillan is up there. Luther Burden from Missouri. Emeka Buka, when you talk about NFL and production and what he's going to be able to do at the National Football League level, because he is a pit bull of a blocker. He is a precision route runner and a soft spot finder, which is pretty invaluable resources to have as a wide receiver in the National Football League. He's going to be good. And then when you think of generational talent, he is probably the best corner in the draft, but I don't think that there, that gap between he and Will Johnson or Jahdae Barron from Texas, Will Johnson from Michigan, Barron from Texas, I don't think that that gap is that significant. What Travis Hunter was in deserving of the Heisman Trophy this year is he was excellent at both wide receiver and corner in college.
He was a top five corner and a top five wide receiver, which is insane.
It is truly incredible what he was able to do.
But he's not going to do that in the NFL.
He's not the generational talent in the NFL because it will be limited on both sides.
I feel like he, fairly or unfairly, because of the two-way play, gets lumped in as the same kind of guy as Charles Woodson, where Woodson didn't play on offense that much, but when he did, he was very impactful. He was an absolute demon in the return game.
Mm-hmm.
But he was by far, and it was not close, the best defensive player in the country. He was the best corner in the country. He was unmatched. No one was going anywhere near him. But because he played two ways, and that kind of elevated his profile a little bit to the point of where he was the last true defensive player who won a Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
well, I mean, Travis Hunter is a true defensive player. I mean, he
does he win the Heisman if he's just a corner?
No.
That's my point. No. Charles Woodson won the Heisman because he was a corner.
Yeah, well,
the sprinkling on top
he won it because of the sprinkling on top. He was the best. He was a corner. There was no question. Everybody at Colorado was saying, "Well, no, he plays both," and he had 1,200 yards receiving. Yeah. For God's sake, again, it's like Travis Hunter was really
good. And I'm not taking away from him at all. But like when you're talking about like generational talent, Charles Woodson was that. Like there was no. Yeah. Is Travis Hunter a generational athlete? Hell yes.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Does he project as a generational player at either position? I don't think so. Does he project as really good at either position? Uh-huh.
Yeah. He does.
Look, if you're picking 8 through 15 and Travis Hunter is there, yes, unequivocally, you are not getting better value.
Well, I also think that
but top
this
4?
This is going to sound like I'm taking a dump on the Big 12, but I'm not. Because I think it was down across the board in every conference across college football. But Travis Hunter wasn't nearly the corner when he was playing in the Pac-12, when he was going up against
Prolific offenses.
Bo Nix and Michael Penix and the elite quarterbacks that he saw. The Big 12 was not that this year.
No.
As far as offensive prowess that we've come accustomed to seeing with Big 12.
Fafita fell off. Retzloff at BYU.
The BYU quarterback.
Avery Johnson at Kansas State was in and out of the lineup.
Mm-hmm. Sam Levitt was
probably the best quarterback, and didn't.
Retzloff, outside of the quarterback on his own team, Shedeur Sanders, right?
Who's not going against. But Levitt ended up being probably the best quarterback. He started, I think he picked up later. Was it his first six? It was rough. And then the rest of the season, he was incredible. Retzloff was really good to start, and he kind of fell off at the end. But so, you didn't really, you had good quarterback play, but it wasn't, multiple first-round picks in the NFL quarterback play.
No.
Like, think about that. The quarterbacks he went up against, were the Caleb Williams, Bo Nix's, and Michael Penix's, three of the top 8 picks in the NFL draft.
That was a pretty good sample of quarterback play that he went up against last year. And that's not to take away how good Travis Hunter was, and
but it's a
how
scaling
good the,
issue.
I mean, the Big 12 was good last year this year too, because look, Sam Levitt, that guy grew so much over the course of the season as a quarterback. But it was quite different. And last year, they didn't play Washington, I don't believe. They didn't play Washington, but they played Arizona, Oregon, USC. And look, it didn't go well. It didn't go well for the Buffs. And there was a lot more issues than just Travis Hunter going into that. But I think that that played a role into the dominance and the numbers that he did put up this past season. Pac-12 was really damn good in the final year of the Pac-12.
Yeah. I mean,
it was a great way to go.
They went out with a salute if the ship went down.
You're dang right. You're dang right they did. But it'll be interesting to track that and see where the Tennessee Titans, they hold the number one pick right now in the NFL draft. So
what a weird year. This is kind of like if you're the Atlanta Hawks in the NBA this last year. You hold the number one overall pick. Like, it's a good class. Kind of.
Also, drafting Travis Hunter means nothing if you don't have anybody that can get him the ball. If he's going to play both ways.
Gun to your head, what position does he play? I think he's a wide receiver.
I have long said he's a really good corner because of his spatial awareness and his ball skills.
But
in the NFL, you've got to be... He's not as disciplined as a corner as Will Johnson is.
No.
Like, he kind
of Johnson has the ball hawk stuff, too.
He baits some throws knowing that he's a better athlete and his ball skills are elite. I think he's a really damn good receiver. I really do. I think he's a fun receiver to watch. But he'll play corner in the NFL because when he gets out into one side of the ball and he has to focus on it, I think a lot of that stuff's going to come around and he's going to explode at corner. Well, hey, do you see Deion got in trouble? Yeah, we'll get to that next. Danny Dusty on the Fan. Oh, boy. We were just talking Travis Hunter, and it came across the line that Deion Sanders has been hit for tampering. I didn't know this was a thing anymore.
It won't be.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be honest, I mean, you'll tell us what's going to happen, but my real quick take on this is this, even though Colorado self-imposed sanctions, they'll be rolled back because it won't matter in a month.
Well, we'll see. Colorado is now no longer live streaming Deion Sanders' coach's show, and they have removed two of its episodes on YouTube after Sanders committed NCAA minor recruiting violations by discussing the recruit Julian Lewis. Remember, he was committed to USC, wasn't he?
Yeah, he followed the path of one Malachi Nelson.
Well, he never enrolled, didn't he? Just
no, I'm saying
commit and then decommit.
It was a situation where things were not going well already before he even got there.
Okay.
And it was like, nah, we're good.
Colorado will lose 4 in-person recruiting days, and Deion has to go to classes.
Mm.
This is not a big deal, and there is kind of this movement to make it so coaches can talk about players that they're recruiting. I mean, you want to watch something that's going to be absolutely out of hand. You're going to see a post-game press conference of Lane Kiffin up there talking about how they missed a throw and how he needs this 5-star quarterback, and he's going to name that quarterback by name. That'd be a hell of a thing. Only a couple of coaches would go down that road, and I don't think we'll ever get that far. But being more open about talking about these guys, and because that was seen as it really is in the old school ways of coaching, a blatant disregard for the recruiting rules. But look, as you said, in a month after the House settlement happens, or in a couple of months, it's April, right?
Yeah.
At that point, they're going to have to rewrite an entire rule book. And the world of college sports is going to be changing dramatically.
Oh, an aside on this line, did you know that the first payments to those two players has gone out?
In the House settlement?
Yes.
No.
They have. Trailblazers players have received, some of them have received their payouts from the settlement.
Oh, really?
Yep. I was in the locker room literally when they hit their got the message in the inbox and they were like, oh, okay. And what was interesting was talking to some of them, like, depending on where they played, importance and visibility played a factor.
Yep. It absolutely does. I'm assuming DeAndre Ayton was one.
The other part of this was, like, guys that transferred.
Oh, okay.
And, like, the difference, like, Tumani Kamara played at Georgia and Dayton. SEC versus Atlantic 10.
Yeah.
Justin Minaya transferred from, I want to say, like, a low D1 school to Nebraska. Delano Banton was a transfer to Nebraska. trying to think of somebody else there, but we were, it was interesting talking about him. And
they got paid for going to play basketball at Nebraska.
Oh yeah, wow. Everyone got paid. Yeah, they all got paid. If you're that, if you're up there, then you had jerseys sold with your number and used and everything. Oh yeah, and I heard them discussing some numbers.
Well, I bet DeAndre Ayton got a pretty penny.
Yeah, but it also they've also been told that this isn't done.
No,
talked about this. This whole like them getting to $4 billion when this first came out, I was like, it's going to double. It's there's no way they're going to settle 50 years of NIL of $4 billion. Honestly, $8 billion probably doesn't cover it because the amount of money the NCAA made over that period of time was probably five times that.
I think that. The NCAA obviously made their bed in this one,
yeah.
And it's gonna end up
costing them their existence.
Yeah, the whole thing is gonna go away, and the Power Four are gonna have to like that's gonna be the way that it goes. Mm-hmm. Is that
it breaks off, and
you're gonna say we can't do this because right now you're already having a host of schools are opting out of the revenue sharing. I believe the entire Ivy League did. I think North Dakota State maybe did as well, which that's a surprise. Because that is kind of that flare up in the sky that they're not going to be going up to the FBS level. But I think you're going to see a lot of these schools are just going to say, we're not going to get in the revenue share. And those schools will probably stay in an NCAA and under an NCAA umbrella. But I mean, in all likelihood, we're going to see the entire landscape change. And I think it'll be for the better because the biggest farce that we have in college sports is that it's a level playing field. It isn't. It never has been. And it's actually more level now than it was before any of this was going on. But it's going to continue to see that gap widen, especially as the Big Ten and the SEC get more and more money. You're going to see the gap widen between them and the other Power Four schools, ACC and the Big 12. I mean, Wu-Tang Clan taught us this.
Yes. Cash rules everything around me.
Graham, get the money.
Mm-hmm.
Dollar bill, y'all.
That's pretty good. Well done, guys.
That's how. Well done. But that's how college sports has always worked.
Yeah.
And if you don't think that that has been the case, I don't know what to tell you.
In the amount of millions that people have made off the backs of children over the course of 50 years.
Unpaid labor.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're adults once they're. I mean, when you're in your junior, senior year, you're an adult there, you know?
But we're talking about 50-plus-year-old individuals into their 70s and 80s that pocketed millions upon millions upon millions.
What's crazy—
And they should not have had anywhere near that amount of money.
It went to coaches. It went to a lot of the other sports, which I think is good. It's good that they used a lot of money. I mean, the NCAA is glorified party planning committee.
Yeah.
You know, they just host events for, you know, all the other sports. But the reality of it is that they vilified the NCAA as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
They vilified guys like Johnny Manziel, like Terrell Pryor in the tattoo guys. At
any of the Ohio,
Ohio State
guys, yeah.
Right?
USC, Reggie
Miami
Bush.
From 1980 through 2001, right? Like, they just sit there and they vilified those guys. Yeah, Reggie Bush is a great one. And they knew what was happening was not right.
No,
because
they were trying to just gobble up as much as they could. It was selfish. That's what it was. It was, we need to get ours where the getting's good, and we can make the getting good last longer if we put the onus on the kids.
No doubt about it.
And that's the nasty stuff of this, and that's why I hope Mark Emmert just has a miserable, miserable rest of his life.
Damn.
He knew exactly what he was doing. That's a rotten human.
I think he was just doing the job because his bosses, we know who his bosses were.
Yeah. Again.
It's presidents of the universities.
He knew what he was doing, though.
It's presidents of the universities, man. That sucks. Deion, slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
This is a nothing burger. If anybody says it's more, don't.
And not only that, again, I said a month. In 2 months, it's probably rolled back.
Yeah. Hey, we are at the halfway point of the Blazers. That's crazy. Halfway point.
Beyond.
Where are they now?
Hmm.
Where do we want them to go from here?
Down.
Well, and what's the best outcome for this final run? Danny and Dusty on the Fan.